We welcome you to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We believe God has a message for you today that will encourage and speak truth to your heart and life. Let's join Pastor Melanie Bertolio as she shares the word with us today.
Well, we are in the book of Hebrews. We are in chapter 8, and we are just going to dive in head first. So I'm going to start reading from verse 1, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read, then I'm going to stop, then I'm going to read, then I'm going to stop. So don't get frustrated by that. I'm telling you on the front end, that's what we're going to do here. All right, so Hebrews 1 says this. Here is the main point. Stop. We're going to stop. Here is the main point. You see, everything that Pastor and Chapman have been teaching you, and I taught the first one, but you know, they've been teaching you for a while. Everything they've been teaching has been really good, but I'm going to tell you what the main point is. But that's really what the author is saying is, okay, everything I've been saying to you up to now has been leading up to what's coming right now, all right? We have a high priest. Now, Chapman explained to us very well last week the significance of Jesus as high priest. If you don't understand that, you need to go back and listen to his sermon. It's one of those that, quite frankly, we all probably need to listen to about, 10 times to really get everything out of it that was in there, because God is simple to understand, but he's very complex. And so the thought that God put into all that he has done on the earth, all the preparation for what we are now experiencing now as the new covenant, that started thousands and thousands of years ago, and nobody even really knew at that time its significance. But we live in a dispensation, which is just an era of time where we get to see what it was all leading up to. We get to understand some things that they didn't even have the option to understand. So here we go. This is the main thing. This is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down, and that's significant. He didn't sit down because he was tired. He sat down because the work was done. Yeah. See, earthly priests never really sat down because their work was never done. Yep. But Jesus sat down in the place of honor. Some of your translations will say the right hand, beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest must make an offering too. If he were here on earth, he would not even be a priest. Again, Chapman explained that last week. Jesus was not from the Levitical tribe. Therefore, he wasn't even qualified to be a priest when he was here on the earth. Since there are already priests who offer the gifts required by the law, they serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build the tabernacle, God gave him this warning. Be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. So everything they did in reference to that tabernacle, there's so much significance to the building of the tabernacle, to the way it was laid out. And we've taught on that before. But the significance, it's endless. I mean, every time I think I've heard all that there could possibly be about the significance of how the tabernacle was built, the types of woods, the types of materials that were used in the curtains, and the different metals that were used for each basin and different things that were there. Every single piece and part of that had significance. But even with all of that, it was just a copy or a shadow of what is to come. See, what we're going to experience when we actually get in heaven is we're going to go, oh, this is what all of that was leading us to. Now, but here's what's great, is we can still experience the kind of worship that is taking place in heaven now. But the word does tell us that we know now in part. So there's going to be more. If you know God well, you know there's always more. So I can't wait for that. But verse 6 is a really significant verse, and it is kind of the crux. It's what makes verses 1 and 2 the main point. Okay? So verses 1 and 2 were really the main point. It was this: we have a high priest who sat down, and he currently ministers in the heavenly tabernacle. All right, that's the main point. All right, but this, we're getting ready to learn why that's the main point. In verse 6, it says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises." There's so much in that verse right here. There is so much in that verse. Jesus is our high priest. He is working a superior ministry, mediating a better covenant based on better promises. So here's what you can know. Whatever has been good leading up to that point, this thing just gets better. This covenant that we are in is just better than anything that they've experienced. And if you remember, this is a letter that's being written to Jews, to people who understand covenant. But I want to read it to you the way the Amplified Classic says it. It says, "But as it now is, he, Christ, has acquired a priestly ministry, which is as much superior and more excellent than the old, as the covenant of which he is the mediator is superior and more excellent, because it is enacted and rests upon more important, sublimer, higher, and nobler promises." I want you to hear that verbiage. A ministry as much superior and more excellent as the covenant is superior and more excellent, because it is enacted upon more important, higher, and nobler promises. See, we could have been born 1,500 years ago or 2,500 years ago, and we could have had a much more, 1,500 would have been okay, 2,500 wouldn't have been so great, because we'd have been in the old covenant. But we have access to this covenant that is superior, more excellent, and based on higher and nobler promises. That's kind of it. That's chapter 8. Let's pray. No, I'm just kidding. No. Chapter 7 was deep. Chapter 7 was deep, and it was really, quite honestly, very hard to understand. But this simplifies it all, and it just brings it down to my level. Jesus is better. Jesus is superior and more excellent. The new covenant that he mediates is based on his blood sacrifice. Not a bull, not a sheep, not a goat. We've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God. In Leviticus 4:7, this is how they used to do it. It says, "The priest will then put some of the blood on the horns of the altar for fragrant incense that stands in the Lord's presence inside the tabernacle. He will pour out the rest of the bull's blood at the base of the altar for burnt offerings at the entrance of the tabernacle." Here's what you've got to know. Any trace of your sin has been completely removed, not covered, not put off to be dealt with later, but removed from our record. Why? Because it was the perfect blood of the perfect sacrifice. Jesus, the Lamb of God, that has now been poured out onto the altar. It is his blood that provides that fragrant incense. And that is the covenant that Jesus is mediating for you and me. He sits at the place of honor as a continual reminder to God that you and I are washed clean. In Hebrews 12:24, it says that the blood of Jesus speaks a better word, one of forgiveness. Aren't you glad that that blood speaks? See, that blood having been poured out on the altar is continually speaking on my behalf, and it speaks forgiveness. I love that. And I don't think there could be a more valuable or precious substance that has ever existed than that. But Jesus is there. He's at the right hand of God, and he lives in a glorified body, but that body still has scars. Scars in his hands, in his feet, in his side. And it is a continual reminder to the Father that the wages of our sin have been paid. And that blood cries out for our forgiveness. That's pretty amazing. That is the new covenant. It's the gospel. But it is a covenant that God made with us. And we're going to go on to look at some things that are really important. But what I want you to understand is it is a covenant. If you remember, Pastor said this way back, and I repeated him later. But God, it was a because you can't covenant that God made with us. He knew we could not keep the old covenant. And he loved us so much that he gave us this new covenant, but then he, in that new covenant, he empowers us to be like him, to do the same thing that he did. Being a Christian is, it ought to be sacrificial. I mean, when we are sacrificing, we are most like God. When we are forgiving people, that's when we are most like God. And it's a beautiful thing. But verses 7 through 13 go on to compare the new covenant with the old covenant. And he explains the fault that was in the first covenant. And that fault, honestly, was just that it was mankind trying to keep it. And we just couldn't do it. But he goes on to quote Jeremiah 31. In verse 8 of Hebrews 8, he goes on to quote Jeremiah 31, which is where Jeremiah prophesied of this new covenant. And this is important that he did this here because he's talking to Jews. And he is explaining to them, you know, I mean, have you ever heard that saying, you can't see the forest for the trees? And I oftentimes think of that saying because everything about Jesus was prophesied about, and we can, in retrospect, look back on Jesus' coming and all that he did while he was here and the sacrifice that he made. And we can go, golly, it's just so obvious that he fulfilled those prophecies. But I just kind of, I have been guilty of not being able to see the forest for the trees sometimes. And I just think sometimes that's kind of where they were. But this writer is spelling it out. He's leaving no room for doubt. Hey, listen, everything that has happened was prophesied about by the prophet Jeremiah. And so he's establishing with them, God didn't just go off in left field. This has been the plan all along. And it's important that we understand that the Jews were very acquainted with covenants. And there were actually several covenants that God made with the Israelites and with mankind over several centuries. And there's some people name them differently and kind of divide them up. So some people say there's one number of them. Some people say others. But just know this. There were several times that God made covenant with either the Israelites or with mankind. And so The Mosaic Covenant is what we refer to as the Old Covenant. And it was one of the only covenants that was truly conditional. It was, if you do this, you get this. If you do this, you're blessed. If you do this, you're cursed. And it was very conditional. But it was enacted as an avenue for God to bless his people. He wanted to bless his people. And that was his heart's desire when he made it. But mankind simply couldn't keep it. Again, because you can't keep it, I'm going to make a new one. And the new covenant just requires faith. Nothing more. Faith. God made a new covenant that was fail-proof for those who would choose to enter into that covenant with him. It's fail-proof. And I praise God for that. I really praise God for that, because I'm just that person that if it can be messed up, I'll do it. But this is a covenant that we enter into one time, and really we can't mess it up. Why? Because it's not based on anything we do. It's not based on anything we're doing, and it's not based on anything we will do. But it's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And so it goes on in verse 7 to say, if the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replace it. But when God found fault with the people, he said, the day is coming, says the Lord. And this is where he begins to quote Jeremiah. The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt. They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them, says the Lord. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, you should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date and will soon disappear. I thank God that covenant is one where he has put his laws in my mind and my heart. And I have an inner witness that I take with me everywhere I go that tells me, do this, don't do this. And sometimes I do a good job of listening and sometimes I don't. But every single time, there is forgiveness, there is redemption, and it's a beautiful thing. I want to talk tonight about three ways that the new covenant is superior to the old. And the first one is this. The new covenant is a ministry of the life-giving Spirit of God. It is not a ministry of death. And in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4, it says, we are confident of all this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. And this is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. So this covenant is a covenant of the Spirit. And it goes on to say the old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. Amen. And I just want to say that there have been a lot of times in my life when I have been very low, when I have been very down, and it was based on dumb, stupid, sometimes patterns of sin that I was in. And when I was there, I was so grateful for a God who gave me his life-giving Spirit and who never lets me stay in that place, because his life-giving Spirit reminds me that it's not about me, that it's not about what I've done, that the blood of Jesus doesn't just cover up my sin. It cleanses me, washes me, makes me completely clean. And I'm so grateful for that. So we get to partake of the ministry of the life-giving Spirit of God, and we are no longer worried about a ministry of death. Before we were saved, there was a ministry of death assigned to us. We don't have to worry about that anymore. The second way that the new covenant is superior is that it's about righteousness and not condemnation. See, when I get to that place where I'm low, I know if I start beating myself up, and trust me, you can't lead people without getting to those places where you beat yourself up. You just can't. Some days you're loved and some days you're not. And I've got to know that when I begin to feel condemned, that's not God. Because His is a ministry of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:22 says, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. It doesn't get any better than that. I'm made right. Nothing I can do can unmake me right. And faith in Christ changes the way I think about myself. And when I begin to look in the mirror and say those things that don't line up with what God says about me, I have that witness within me saying, that's not true. The way you feel right now isn't true. You're not disqualified. That's not true. You made a mistake. That mistake didn't disqualify you. Second Corinthians 3, verses 9 says, in the old way, which brings condemnation, if the old way, which brings condemnation, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new way, which makes us right with God? In fact, that first glory was not glorious at all compared with the overwhelming glory of the new way. So if the old way, which has been replaced, was glorious, how much more glorious is the new, which remains forever? I'm just telling you right now, I'm a partaker of that. I receive that ministry of righteousness over my life. And I rebuke and reject the ministry of condemnation. I just do. And then the third way that the new covenant is superior is that it ministers to the inner man, and it's not a ministry of proper behavior. Okay? It's ministering to us from within. It doesn't deal with the superficial. It's not about how we are acting, but rather it's about our hearts. Paul prayed for the Ephesians in this way. He says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength. I receive that. I am empowered with inner strength. And it doesn't matter who likes me today and who doesn't like me today. I'm empowered with inner strength that comes from God Himself. It says, then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust in Him. Your roots will go down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. This new covenant deals with the heart of the problem. And the heart of the problem is the heart of man. And when the heart of man is made righteous, permanently righteous. See, that blood has been poured out once. And it is a permanent sacrifice, an eternal sacrifice that allows the work in me to be from within. The new covenant profoundly forever changes us from the inside out. We're reborn spiritually. Our inner man is brand spanking new. The old covenant couldn't even get to the heart of the problem. I'm so glad to be living in the new covenant. I love the Lord with my whole heart, but I am prone to failure in my flesh, as we all are. But praise God, my spirit is perfect. I've been made right with God, and all I had to do was believe in Christ and what he did for me. I'm going to end with this. I don't know if y'all have had this experience. There's a word that my parents used to use, and I don't hear it used as much these days, and I think it's probably just been replaced. But when I was a kid, if we were getting ready to go into a restaurant or into someone's home or something of that nature, we would be pull up in the car. My parents would turn around and they'd start by giving us a spit bath to make sure we were good. I don't, anybody got the spit bath before? Teresa was holier than me as a mom because she did spit baths in a way that maybe someone can learn something from this. But she didn't lick her own thumb. She would make her kids lick her thumb. And then she would, you know. But I got the real ones, you know, my dad. But I'd get a spit bath, and then my parents would turn around and say, "All right, now when we get in there, I want you to behave. Behave." When I was a little kid, I once told my mom, "Mom, I was being have." But behave. I tried. I went in there with the intention of behaving. But, I mean, how many of you as parents or teachers or babysitters, how many of you have taught a child how to behave? Only to have them act like they were raised by monkeys somewhere. I mean, seriously. They can't. They don't have it in them to do it perfectly. Now we're our hope and our prayer is that they do it most of the time, but they don't have the ability to do it perfectly. And you didn't either. And my parents would say, "When we get in there, you better behave." And there was three of us, and it was really a good night if two of us pulled it off, you know? But as a school principal, one of my primary jobs that I have is teaching kids how to behave. And the hardest thing to do is to determine when I am trying to teach them using the Word of God. The hardest part is determining whether or not I've gotten to their heart. Because if I didn't get to their heart, if they don't understand it on the heart level, why they need to act differently than what they just did, here's what I can promise you. They're going to go out there and do it again. It happens every time. And the hard part is I'm not God, so I don't know when I've gotten to their heart and when I haven't. Sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I got I got him that time. I saw the tear well up right there in the corner, and I got him. And then I get about 5 minutes before I've got Chris Johnson or Samantha or Joanna, someone coming in going, yeah, they didn't get it. But what I love about the new covenant is it's not about our behavior. It's not a license to misbehave. But it's not about our behavior. No change is ever permanent unless you have a change of heart. But I do want you to know something, that when you've had a change of heart, or as we Christians call it, when you've been born again, there actually can be permanent change. Things that you've dealt with your whole life that God can turn around. He empowers you from within to behave. And then when you don't, first of all, he doesn't even remember it. Why? Because there is a continual sacrifice that's been made on your behalf. And that blood washes you clean. Once and for all, you're clean. So you don't have to experience shame. You don't have to be embarrassed by what you've done. Now, you might need to make some things right with some people that in the natural realm. But you know what's even better? He empowers you to do that. He gives you the courage and the strength that it takes to do that. You know, there's a phrase that says, actions speak louder than words. And I thank God that I'm not dealing with a covenant. I'm not under a covenant that is continually looking at my actions. Because there's a lot of things going on in here that haven't quite made their way out here yet. But they will. I promise you that. They will. The old covenant just taught us to behave, but it was lifeless to help us. And the new covenant empowers us to change. So we have a ministry of the life-giving Spirit of God, a ministry of righteousness, and a ministry to our inner man. And we ought to be thanking God every day that we wake up for that, because it has changed everything for us. It's changed everything for me, and it can change it for you too. That is Hebrews 8.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.